The Parenting Paradox. The Parenting Paradox.
Parenting has never been more complicated than it is right now, with technology creating challenges our own parents never had to face and no roadmap for how to handle them. This is The Parenting Paradox, where we tackle the real struggles of raising kids who are growing up with smartphones, social media, and screens everywhere they look. Today's episode will give you practical tools to navigate this digital minefield while still raising confident, connected children. Welcome to The Parenting Paradox.
Have you ever had that moment? You look over your child's shoulder. They're laughing hysterically at a picture of, well, you're not even sure what it is, a weirdly drawn frog, a cat with bad grammar, and you just have absolutely no idea what's going on.
I live in that moment. For me, as someone who works with communication, it's fascinating. Memes are like this new, incredibly fast visual language. They have their own grammar, their own inside jokes, their own history. And our kids are completely fluent. I'm personally interested today because I want to understand the structure of that language and how it's shaping the way they see the world.
See, for me, it's less academic and much more personal. My son showed me a video the other day, just a short clip of a character from an old cartoon walking with a strange swagger. And his friends were all referencing it. I just stood there, smiling and nodding, feeling like I was a tourist in my own home. It's that feeling of being on the outside of a joke that your child is so deeply on the inside of. It's a communication gap I really want to bridge.
And that's the heart of it, isn't it? It's more than just silly pictures. This is the culture they live in, the way they bond, and the lens through which they process everything from schoolyard drama to global news.
So, the big question we're tackling today is how do we as parents step into that world? How do we move from being confused bystanders to engaged guides in this wild and often weird digital maze?
We're going to explore what meme culture actually is, how it's influencing our kids' social lives and sense of humor, and most importantly, how we can use it as a powerful tool to connect with them and teach critical media literacy. This is going to be a fascinating conversation.
It really is. There's a whole world to unpack here, and I am ready to dive in.
So let's start with that dive. I think the first thing we have to get our heads around as parents is that a meme isn't just a joke. It's a unit of culture. It's a marker of belonging.
A marker of belonging. Say more about that. Because for me, it feels like a marker of my not belonging.
Exactly. That's actually part of its function. Think about it. When your son and his friends all laugh at that strange cartoon swagger you mentioned, they're not just laughing at the video. They're reinforcing that they are all part of a group that gets it.
It's a secret handshake.
It's a digital secret handshake, and it's incredibly efficient. A single image, that weird frog you mentioned, can communicate a really complex feeling, like that specific dread of seeing a teacher on a weekend, or the awkwardness of joining a video call late.
Okay, I see that. But is it a good shorthand? I worry because the humor can get so nihilistic sometimes. Or just plain bizarre. I saw one that was just a picture of a grainy piece of bread that had fallen on the floor, and my daughter thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. I don't get the joke.
And you're not always meant to. That's the surreal, sometimes absurdist, layer of it. But let's break down that piece of bread. Was there any text on it?
Yeah, I think it just said something like, "Welp."
Right. So the image itself is the setup, the mundane tragedy. The word whelp is the punchline. It's a whole mood. It's about finding humor in small, relatable moments of failure or disappointment. It's not a setup punchline joke in the way we grew up with. It's more of a feeling, captured and shared.
A feeling. Huh. So when I see that and just see, you know, a dirty piece of bread, she sees a whole emotional landscape.
She sees a shared experience. She knows that hundreds, maybe thousands of other kids have seen that same image and felt that same small, silly sense of defeat. It makes her feel connected. It validates her own small frustrations.
That is so much deeper than I thought. I was just thinking, why is this funny? Not, what does this mean?
And that's the shift we have to make. The question isn't always, what's the joke? Sometimes it's, what's the reference? Or what's the feeling here? Many memes are built on layers of other memes. It's like a conversation that's been going on for years, and our kids just jumped into the middle of it. Yeah, they really did.
Which is a little intimidating. It feels like trying to learn a language where the dictionary is rewritten every single morning. How do you even begin to keep up?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And my honest answer is, you don't. And more importantly, you don't have to. The goal isn't fluency. Trying to keep up with every single new meme is like trying to drink from a fire hose.
Oh, thank goodness. Because I have tried. I'll see something, look it up, and by the time I think I understand it, my son tells me it's cringe and dead. It's exhausting.
It is, because the speed is part of the point. But I think the shift in mindset is to stop trying to learn the vocabulary and start trying to recognize the grammar.
The grammar? What do you mean?
Well, think about some of the ones that have been around for ages. The scene from that German film, Downfall, with Hitler in the bunker? That clip is almost 20 years old.
Right, the ranting scene. I've seen that used for everything, from video game controversies to celebrity gossip.
Exactly. The video itself is the format, the grammar. The new subtitles are the vocabulary. So you don't need to understand the specific drama about the video game. You just need to recognize, ah, this is the furious overreaction to a trivial problem format. It's a template.
Okay. That makes sense. It's like knowing the structure of a knock-knock joke. You don't have to have heard the specific one before to understand how it works.
Precisely. Or think of Boromir from The Lord of the Rings. One does not simply walk into Mordor. That phrase has become a template for anything that's harder than it looks. One does not simply find a parking spot at the mall on a Saturday.
Huh. So it's less about the content and more about the container it's delivered in.
Yes, and once you see that, you can ask a different kind of question. Instead of, what is that? You can ask your child, oh, is that like that downfall meme? What are people upset about this time? It shows you understand the language without needing to know every word.
That feels achievable. But what about the ones that seem to have no grammar? The ones that are just invented from thin air? I read about this thing on Tumblr, a non-existent Martin Scorsese movie called Goncharov.
Oh, I love that example. Isn't that wild?
It is. People were writing analysis, making fan art, talking about their favorite scenes from a movie that never existed. How does that even happen? It feels like a collective hallucination.
But that's the next evolution, you see. It moves beyond simply recontextualizing existing culture, like a movie clip, to creating a new, shared fiction from scratch. It's a massive, collaborative, creative act.
A creative act?
I guess I saw it as a prank. A joke on the rest of us who are trying to figure out what's real.
It has elements of that, for sure. That feeling of being on the inside is still there. But it's also a testament to how these communities can build entire worlds together. They're not just sharing a joke, they're co-authoring a story. The real question there isn't, have you seen Goncharov? It's, what's the coolest thing you've seen someone add to the Goncharov story?
Wow. So my job isn't to have seen the fake movie. My job is to be curious about the process of how they all built it together.
Exactly. And that's the real paradigm shift for us as parents. It's a move from being a consumer of their culture and feeling lost to being an admirer of their process. You're not critiquing the art. You're asking about the paintbrush.
An admirer of their process. I can do that. That feels so much more authentic than me trying to use a word like yeet in a sentence. Which I have tried, and the look of horror on my daughter's face, I will never forget it.
We've all been there. But it does bring up the one big thing we haven't really touched on, the darker side of this. We've talked about creativity and community, but what happens when that in-group language is used for bullying or to spread misinformation?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's the fear that keeps me up at night. It's one thing if I don't get a joke about a piece of bread. It's another thing entirely if I don't recognize a symbol or a phrase that's tied to something hateful.
And you won't always recognize it. That's the uncomfortable truth. The same mechanisms that build the fun, collaborative world of a fake Scorsese movie can be used to build insular, radicalized communities. The secret handshake can be an invitation to something dangerous.
So what's the answer? How do we guard against that without just, you know, taking their phone and throwing it in a lake? Which is tempting some days.
It is tempting. But the answer, I think, goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversation. It's about connection. Your best defense against the dark corners of the internet is a strong relationship with your child in the real world.
So it all circles back to just talking.
It's talking, but with this new lens. It's being curious about the silly stuff. Asking about the weird frog. Asking about the fake movie. Because that builds the trust you'll need to ask, "Hey, I saw this other thing that seemed kind of mean-spirited. Can you help me understand it?" You can't have that hard conversation if you haven't already been having the fun ones.
That makes so much sense. You earn the right to be the guardian by first being the curious anthropologist, like you said. I guess my final thought is just relief. I started this conversation feeling like I was failing a test I didn't even know I was supposed to be studying for.
And now?
Now I feel like the goal isn't to get an A+. The goal is just to stay in the classroom, asking questions. It's not about knowing the answers. It's about being brave enough to admit you don't, and being willing to learn from your kid.
I think that's the most profound insight of all. In the end, it's not about the memes. It's about what they represent. A chance to connect, a chance to learn, and a chance to show our kids that we are interested not just in their safety, but in their world.
And what a weird, wonderful, and sometimes terrifying world it is. Thank you for this. It's given me a lot to think about. This was the Parenting Paradox. Remember, you don't have to have all the answers. You just need to stay engaged, keep the conversation going, and trust that your love and guidance matter more than any algorithm. This has been the Parenting Paradox, where every episode reminds you that perfect parenting doesn't exist, but intentional parenting in the digital age absolutely can. Keep showing up for your kids, even when the technology feels overwhelming.